This morning we read, as always, the most frightening story in the Torah. The most frightening story. God had promised Abraham that he and Sarah would be founders of a great people, tremendous like the stars in the sky. But they have no children, and they both grow old. The thing Abraham most wants, that his son would be his successor, looks impossible. But then a miracle happens. Isaac is born when Abraham and Sarah are old. They're so old, very old, fantastically, impossibly old. But see, it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late for God to fulfill his promises. God may seem to put things off until they can't happen. But it's never too late. And so Isaac is born. But then it seems that God will break his word after all, because suddenly he demands that Isaac be slaughtered as a sacrifice in Holocaust. God says the most sinister words in Scripture, "Please, please be so kind as to take your son, your only one, the one you love, and offer him to me as a burnt offering." You know the horrible ritual, the impalement, the flames. It's unbearable to think that religion was ever that, much less our religion. And again, what's particularly awful, it's not just that God is demanding something bad, demanding a choice of death over life, but that God is breaking his word, his own solemn promise. He had the power to keep the promise when it seemed scientifically and biologically impossible, because couples in their 90s do not have children. But now God is breaking the promise he miraculously kept. What is the point of miracles if you cruelly undo what they achieve? Miracles are great if they happen, but more important is promise keeping. This is one of those moments when the meaning of the universe is at stake. If God would do this, everything Abraham had believed is wrong. The universe would be much, much different, much crueler than Abraham had ever imagined. Yet Abraham doesn't doubt that he will obey, that he will do anything for God, anything God asks, because Abraham is so close to God. Closer than we can conceive, closer than any of us will ever be to anyone. You have to think of this inconceivable closeness, this intimacy, to make any sense of the story. Abraham doesn't doubt that he will do what God asks, but perhaps he knows, I hope he knows, that God won't really ask this, not really. That whatever is going on, it's not what it looks like. Listen to this story. Listen to this story. Its authorship is mysterious because it has the style of all the great stories in the book of Genesis, and it is crucial, a necessary moment in the story of Abraham, which would have no climax without it. It would be structurally, aesthetically impossible to eliminate this story. But there is evidence that the author is not the author of the other great stories in Genesis, because God has a different name in it. See, even in our greatest masterpieces, there are voices beyond voices. But when I read this story and hear it, I do not doubt the terrible greatness of the Torah.